Well, I have a little interesting historical note, but I'm going to skip that. Historical note, which is really well, I'll skip it. I was about ready not to. Saint Theoleptus' letter is similar to one that Saint Gregory wrote to the nun Xenia, who was also an abbess and an experienced monastic, and that one's in the Philokalia, and part of some of Saint Theoleptus' letters on prayer are also in the Philokalia, but they are addressed to that same abbess, that Byzantine princess. Whereas Palamas' letter to Nun Xenia speaks about the ascetic and monastic life in general or universal terms, without reference to the liturgical cycle of the church, St. Theoleptus' letter to the nuns under his spiritual direction is written on the occasion of the liturgical celebration of the Nativity, and for the purpose of leading the nuns into a deep meditation on and penetration into the true meaning of the Incarnation in relation to the actual lives of the monastics themselves as they are living them, in their very personal as well as universal dimension. Writing to monastics, he offers a wonderful and ingenious spiritual meditation, instruction in the form of a meditation on the meaning of the monastic life through insights drawn from the mystery of the birth of Christ. His discourse proceeds in 12 distinct steps, leading from the unity of God down to the humble symbols of the Nativity, the humblest symbols of the Nativity, and culminating in the mystery of the incarnate unity of the soul with Christ. And the 12 steps are unity, the mystery of the Nativity, renunciation and detachment, virginity and motherhood, 5, the cave, 6, the swaddling clothes, 7, the manger, 8, the magi's gifts, 9, milk by which the babe was nourished, 10, the flight into Egypt from Herod, 11, the return to Israel, and 12, the incarnation of Christ in the soul. God in his mercy, teaches St. Theoleptus, leads us to unity in many ways, through personal presence, like-mindedness, prayer on one another's behalf, mutual practice of charity, the exchange of letters, instructive discourses. The inspired teachings of one spiritual father or mother, given with love and received with humility and obedience, leads us, monastics, to union of the soul with itself, healing of soul, and even ultimately union with God. Entering into the mystery of the Nativity, he says, Theoleptus sees the Nativity of Christ as a paradigm of the monastic way of life in itself. Through a paraphrase of the hymn of St. Romanus, the melodist, which we sing on December the 26th, the only begotten Son of God, begotten from the Father without a mother, is also born from his mother without a father. As monastics, Theoleptus tells his nuns, you have left father and mother and all family relations and have joined yourself to the Lord. Christ was begotten of a virgin and has made the virgin a mother, so that you, who have renounced converse with the world, may make of yourself not only a virgin in body, but also in spirit, preserving the prescriptions of the monastic life, not only outwardly in body, but inwardly in spirit. When the radiance of true virginity dawns in the soul of the monastic, he teaches, she will immediately conceive the word of God through commitment to renunciation and obedience, mindfulness for the keeping of the commandments, remembrance of the vows made in the beginning of monastic life, remembrance of death, remembrance of God. Through obedience and submission to your superior or abbess, you will be and will be called the mother of Christ. This is what St. Theoleptus says. This is what he says. This is what he claims. said, through obedience and submission, through that humility, which is the only way that you can experience participation in God and theosis, you will be and be called the mother of Christ, from virginity to motherhood. The monastic life is that growth, that movement from sinfulness to virginity, a return to virginity, from sinfulness to virginity to motherhood of Christ within the soul. And the nativity, he is saying, all the symbols of the nativity reveal that to you. 5, the cave. Christ was born in a cave so that you, entering a monastery, as in a kind of cave, may be reborn in the spirit through the keeping of the commandments and the practice of the virtues. For when you have abandoned everything on earth for the sake of Christ and you enter a monastery, the monastery itself becomes a kind of sacred cave in which you, through the practice of the commandments and the acquisition of the birth of the virtues, give birth to the Word of God in your soul, which has been conceived through the grace given you when through renunciation you purged your mind of worldly desires and rendered it virginal and receptive to the breath of the Holy Spirit. Swaddling clothes. The Christ child was wrapped in swaddling clothes to teach you monastics to welcome the simple, essential, though poor monastic garments. For even in a monastery, if you are concerned with fine garments, if you value the quality of your robes, the skill of their weave, and their richness of material, you have not really left the world, but have brought the world with you into the monastery. Be content with your simple rags, he says to the nuns. Strive to be indifferent to these things, so that you will not suffer the remembrance of pleasures and incur the passion of sadness or depression over the loss of these things. How many of you have seen that marvelous movie, The Island? Ostrov. You've seen it?
Oh, yes.
All right. Okay, many times. Good. Then you will remember that incredible scene where the abbot Filaret, after the fire, decides that he wants to be a hermit, and he goes to live in the furnace house with Father Anatoly. But he brings with him his very fine boots, which he had got from the bishop, and his very fine sleeping garment, his blanket, which he got from a metropolitan on Mount Athos or wherever. And he brings those with him. And you remember what happened. But the crazy Father Anatoly locks the door from the inside, shuts down the damper of the furnace, turns on so that there's smoke running everywhere, and then he wakes up Abbot Filaret, who's fearful for his life, trying to get out, scratching to get out, and he's, first of all, cutting up the boots, throwing the boots in the fire, and then he says a very remarkable thing. He says, most sins in this world nest in the tops of bishops' boots. I thought that was fabulous. But he cut the boots. He didn't just throw them in the fire. He cut them up first. Cut the tops off. And then, of course, when he did finally unlock the door, he takes the blanket and he stamps on it. He says, oh, this is a nasty... This is, you know, he's a little demon, but he's really nasty. He stamps on it, throws them out. He's teaching the abbot, Filaret, a lesson in this whole idea of the swaddling clothes that St. Theoleptus is telling us about. So just remember that. Most sins nest, of course, you probably don't have bishop's boots, but most sins will probably nest in elegant robes, as the case may be. The manger. The purpose of Christ being placed in a manger is to teach you nuns, says St. Theoleptus, to suffer and endure valiantly the slanders, abuses, reproaches that will inevitably come upon you, by your struggle for virtue and your ascetic way of life. But if you endure this malicious talk and slander directed at you without complaint or without fighting back, your patience and endurance will shine like a star. There he uses the star image again. Your erstwhile oppressors will abandon the world like another Persia, which is where the Magi came from. And they will make their way to the monastery like another Bethlehem, there to enter the life-giving struggle for union with God in Christ and to be imitators of your way of life. The Magi's gifts. Now this is an interesting one. Your monastic example taught Theoleptus of renunciation and detachment, your frugal lifestyle, praiseworthy way of life, humble attitude, and patient endurance of suffering and perseverance will lead others, as you did, to bring their gifts to God through you, their gifts of confidence, charity, and reverence. It's interesting here that St. Theoleptus does not refer to the usual meanings of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But if the sequence is important, and I believe it is, we can then infer that confidence is the gold, charity is the frankincense, and reverence is the myrrh. The milk fed to the Christ child. For you, this is the milk of the simple teachings of the gospel and the lives of the saints and the great fathers and mothers of the church, those who lived in simplicity. This teaching of simplicity will lead you to anchor yourself in the calm harbor of the heavenly realms, leading you to the radiance of the just and the highest contemplation. Now, don't just slide through that. Radiance of the just and the highest contemplation. This is a hesychast. This is a one who has experienced the uncreated light. When he says the radiance of the just, that's what he's talking about. He's really talking about the experience of the uncreated light, because he follows that up with the highest contemplation. The uncreated light leading us to the highest contemplation, which is theologia, or the contemplation of the Holy Trinity itself, union with God. So that's what he's speaking of. The flight into Egypt from Herod. The flight from Herod teaches you monastics, he says, to flee from the rebelliousness of the flesh. And Christ goes to Egypt, rebelliousness of the flesh, Herod flesh, in other words. Christ goes to Egypt to teach us to subdue the unruliness of the passions with ascetic labors and to detach ourselves from the flesh through remembrance of Gehenna, the saving remembrance of death. 11, the return to Israel. When through ascetic labors, the fear of God, patience and humility, you cast off the old man corrupted by sin, you will hear the call or the command to proceed to the land of Israel. The land of Israel, says St. Theoleptus, is the place of the mind that sees God. The land of Israel is the place of the mind that sees God. Herod has died in the form of putting to death the thoughts of pleasure, satisfaction, and worldly comforts, those things that kill the soul. Become like a little child that lives in Christ, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And the 12th step, the incarnation of Christ in the soul. The monastic disciplines of asceticism, unceasing remembrance of death, placing the mind in hell, in the manner of St. Silouan. I've added that. I don't think that St. Theoleptus didn't say that, but that's what he's talking about. The humility of self-condemnation and the remembrance of the eternal fire, which is the love of God, the way the unworthy experience it. Lead the soul to a life hidden in Christ. The soul acquires true spiritual knowledge, which is none other than the land of the mind, the nous, that produces pure prayer. Pure prayer leads you to that glorious, ineffable reality, an experience described and indicated in the immortal words of St. Paul. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.